All right, Alexander, let's talk about Russiagate. How about that? From the National Review, I.G. Horowitz found apparent errors or inadequately supported facts in every single FBI FISA application he reviewed. Every single FISA application he reviewed. Alexander, take us into this latest news from Russiagate via
Yeah,
Horowitz.
I mean, I'm starting to get the sense that this is a systemic problem in the sense that the FBI has been cutting corners with all its FISA applications. And what that suggests, when I say all the FISA applications, I mean FISA applications extending beyond Russiagate. In other words, the FBI has been acting essentially illegally and unconstitutionally to carry out illegal electronic surveillance on American citizens, and is doing so on a sort of routine basis. I'm going to say one thing though. I mean, I haven't got the sense from the latest things that Horowitz is saying that he is understating the extreme seriousness of the FISA abuse. In the case of in the Russiagate case, the Carter page, I understand that was off the scale. So we're looking at lots of problems in the way the FBI handles FISA, its surveillance. But we shouldn't think that Carter page was just normal. Carter page was not normal. It was just beyond even the worst that's ever happened. And not just Carter Page, but apparently all of the Russiagate surveillance as well. So we're looking at a systemic problem with the FBI, and it gives us a sense, again, of a rogue agency under out of control.
A systemic problem with regards to how they were handling Donald Trump, or a systemic problem in all the cases the FBI is undertaking?
Well, as I understand it, both. But the systemic problem with Donald Trump, I'm not sure I'd call it a systemic problem because, of course, that was intentional. A systemic problem in relation to other FISA warrants is because, you know, they're cutting corners all the time. But in terms of Donald Trump, they did it on purpose. Anybody who reads Horowitz's earlier report about Carter Page can see that. This was a systematic attempt to carry out illegal surveillance on a candidate for the US presidency, the Republican Party's nominee for the US presidency and his campaign team, which then extended and continued after that candidate was elected president of the United States and after he became president of the United States. Now, Horowitz, as we famously know, didn't say. Because he couldn't say that this was intentional. But I mean, that's what it was. I mean, to the point where they were actually, as we know, fabricating information. They were changing words in emails that, you know, the CIA, one of their brother, sister intelligence agencies, was sending them. They were changing those words in the emails to make the emails seem like they were saying the opposite of what they actually did say. And this was going on right across all of those FISA applications that happened in Russiagate. And it seems that this comes on top of a problem with FISA that exists already. So that's my impression. I mean, what needs to happen, Alex, is there needs to be a proper someone coming in from outside to carry out an across-the-board investigation and review. This demands something like the Church Commission, the Church Committee that happened in the 1970s that looked into the CIA. I mean, that perhaps wasn't that effective with the CIA, but it needs something like that. It needs to get right down to the bottom of what is going on within the FBI and the Justice Department, because we're talking about the FBI, we must always understand the Justice Department is always involved. The problem is the FBI is now much more than it was in the 1970s integrated into the overall intelligence community of the United States. back in the 1970s, the FBI was principally a police organization. Now it's quite clear that it's not just a police organization, that it is in fact an intelligence agency with certain policing functions attached to it. And that is a very, very worrying thing.
All right, so let me read you the first paragraph from this National Review article. The Justice Department Inspector General said it does not have confidence in the FBI's FISA application process following an audit that found the Bureau was not sufficiently transparent with the court in 29 applications from 2014 to 2019, all of which included apparent errors or inadequately supported facts. Does not have confidence, Alexander. We have been hearing for the better part of 3 years how everyone has absolute confidence in the intelligence agencies of the United States when it came to Russiagate, when it came to Ukraine, and don't dare question the accuracy and the professionalism of the U.S. intelligence agencies. And now you have Horowitz saying that he, quote, does not have confidence in the FBI. From what I understand also, Alexander, the FISA courts pretty much rubber stamp every single FISA request that comes their way, 99.99% of them. They rubber stamp them and bam, the surveillance happens.
Correct.
Everything gets underway.
Correct. That's absolutely
right. What does
that
tell you?
Well, first of all, can I just talk about the FISA process? I mean, there's a certain view expressed most forcefully that I've seen by Andrew McCarthy on National Review. He, remember, is a federal prosecutor, a former federal prosecutor, a very experienced lawyer. His view is that the FISA process has so completely broken down and the FISA court is so completely ineffectual that it's actually dangerous and it should be abolished. And we should no longer have FISA. FISA should be done away with entirely, because it is much better without FISA that you have a situation where the political leadership, the Congress and the presidency and those people administer, supervise what the FBI and the Justice Department does, as used to happen before the 1970s, when the FISA system was introduced, because that way you can hold those people accountable if things go wrong. One of the problems with having a court in charge which isn't doing its job is the FBI can come round and say, well, we haven't acted illegally because the court allowed us to do it. So we might be practicing illegal, unconstitutional surveillance all over the place, but you can't say it's illegal, you can't say it's unconstitutional, because actually a court rubber stamped it. And Andrew McCarthy says, well, this is absolutely wrong and it is disastrous, and creating the FISA system has actually increased non-accountability. It's made the system more arbitrary than it was, and it has cut out Congress and the president, so that the FBI has and the Justice Department have in effect become a law unto themselves. I find that a compelling argument, actually. I'm increasingly swinging behind that view. But I am so glad that you brought up this point about confidence in the intelligence agencies. Right from the first day when Donald Trump started to question some parts of the Russian Gate narrative, you had all these people who were sort of, you know, talking in an incredibly threatening way in the media and saying, you know, Donald Trump doesn't trust his own intelligence agencies. This is somehow outrageous. It's absolutely inappropriate that Donald Trump doesn't trust his intelligence agencies. He believes Vladimir Putin ahead of his own intelligence agencies. Well, now you have the Inspector General of the FBI himself saying that the FBI cannot be trusted with its surveillance powers. That's what he's saying. And can I just come back to Donald Trump? Why should he have trusted the FBI? What is completely forgotten, overlooked in this entire Russiagate narrative, is that before he became president of the United States, when he had this disastrous meeting with the intelligence chiefs on the 7th of January 2017, James Comey sees him alone and shows him the Steele dossier, and does so in a way that suggests to Donald Trump that James Comey and the FBI are giving credence to that dossier. Donald Trump would have known the moment he saw that dossier that it was not true, because he was the man who had that information. He would have known that all the things in this dossier were nonsense. So, of course, after that meeting, he no longer had confidence in the intelligence agencies and in the FBI, because he would have seen, even before he became president, that they were confronting him with information about himself which wasn't true. So Donald Trump was justified on that basis not to have confidence in the intelligence community, and specifically the FBI, and Horowitz, the Inspector General of the FBI, has come along now, and he's an independent person. I understand he's a Democrat. I understand he's a liberal. He's an Obama administration appointment, and he says he doesn't have confidence in the FBI either. And he is the FBI's own Inspector General. There is no question that Trump was right, and all those people in the media who poured out that mantra, how many times did we hear it, Alex, during Russiagate? That absurd mantra, they were wrong. And will they apologize? Will they retract those words? Obviously not. Barely been reported, this latest revelation. About
all the revelations with Russiagate or Ukraine that have come out in the last month have come out at a very, very convenient time for all these criminals and deep state actors. Convenient time. And this is just another example of one that has come out, which once again just obliterates the entire have confidence in our intelligence agencies narrative. Correct. But it will get little to no coverage in the mainstream media. And my final point, Alexander.
I agree with that, but I would just wait and say one thing. I think even if we didn't have this massive health crisis and economic crisis, the media would not have barely reported this story anyway.
Fox News would have ran with it.
People like Tucker Carlson would have run with it. I agree.
They would have ran with it.
No doubt about that.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
But you would. You wouldn't have seen it in MSNBC. No, you wouldn't have read it in the New York Times or the Washington Post or any of those places.
No, but what this does show us is that from 2014 to 2019, a lot of innocent people were surveilled.
Yes.
And a lot of innocent people were prosecuted.
And hold on.
Carter Page and beyond.
And hold on to those dates. Who was president in 2014? Who headed the Justice Department in 2014? It wasn't Donald Trump.
I seem to remember
it was a man called, the president was somebody called Barack Obama, you know, the great constitutional lawyer, the man who cares about human rights and all of these things. He was the president of the United States. And who was the attorney general? Well, I seem to remember that, you know, Loretta Lynch had some role in the Justice Department at that time.
Who was running the FBI?
Who was running the FBI, indeed. A certain James Comey crops up, comes to mind. And, you know, we also had the deputy attorney general, Sally Yates, all of those people. 2014, interesting year. Interesting year that was chosen. So that shows how completely the situation broke down under the Obama administration. And it continued into Russiagate. It escalated.
Corrupt.
All absolutely.
They lecture the world on human rights. Well, they're the ones that are just breaking every single law in the book violating everyone's human rights.
They don't just lecture the world on human rights. If we're talking about this group of people that we're talking about, they lecture Donald Trump on human rights. What has Russiagate been all about? It's been lecturing. I mean, the whole story of the Trump administration has been one long whine about the kind of things that Donald Trump is doing and how he's a dictator and all that sort of thing. Well, what do dictators do? The first thing they do is they set up police agencies that don't obey the law, disregard constitutions, and carry out illegal surveillance on people. That was happening in the United States in 2014. It isn't happening, presumably, now under Donald Trump. At least, I hope not. And I tend to believe that Attorney General Barr, who gets all this stick all the time from the same people who, you know, criticize Trump. They say, you know, he's just Trump's lackey. He's does whatever Trump tells him, which is so wrong and so untrue. I hope and believe that Barr is not allowing these kind of practices anymore and is keeping a very careful eye on Pfizer applications. But can I just say something else? I still believe that this instrument of the Pfizer court and all that, I've come round to Andrew McCarthy's view. I think it should be done away.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. Should be done away. Yeah. Absolutely. And this is absolute evidence and proof that it should be done away.
No. Anyway. Well, there you go.
All right. Alexander McCurse, thank you very much. Guys, if you like this video, click on the subscribe button down below. Click on the notifications bell. Smash that like button. Go to SoundCloud and iTunes to get an audio copy of this video, and please donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. Also, please go to the Durant Shop and pick up some merchandise, magic mugs, t-shirts, polos, all kinds of good things. Alexander?
Yes, and indeed, Alex, we have amazing things in our shop. Can I just remind all our viewers about our phenomenal and extraordinary and brilliant magic mugs, of which we have them next to us all times, because we couldn't sustain this kind of program without them. I am the world expert on magic mugs, as I've said many times, and these are my favorites. I've been through scores and hundreds of magic mugs, thousands probably, or rather not magic mugs, mugs in my time. These are indisputably the best, and the fact that they've survived a year and 4 months now in my hands without a single crack, break or chip shows how exceptional they are, and they are so elegant to look at also. And we don't just have amazing magic mugs, we have amazing shirts, we have beautiful long sleeve t-shirts like the one I'm wearing now, we also have short sleeve t-shirts, we have our incredible and stylish polo shirts, all 100% cotton, all incredibly elegant, all with a double-headed eagle of the Durant, either embroidered or printed on like this. And we also have other things. We have things like hats, stickers, hoodies, and of course V-neck shirts too, all of the same phenomenal quality. And if you go to our shop, you can also find ebooks on subjects like Russiagate and Ukrainegate and Epstein and Brexit. So we depend on you for we rely on your support. If you come to our shop, you provide us with that support, but you also become the owner of these great things in our shop that we've just been talking about. So come to our shop, support the Durant. Alex will tell you how.
Go to the durantshop.com. You'll find the link in the description box down below. Alexander McCurse, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.